I have been waiting weeks to finally have my voice back, and it is still not perfect. And I thought, why not? Let's go ahead and let's do this anyway.
Welcome to the Self-Subscribed Podcast.
Been reading kind of all over in my Bible. Every morning after I work out, I come home and I read from my devotional, which is My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. If you've not picked it up and read it, I highly suggest that you do so. But with the devotional of the day, there is also, of course, the corresponding verse that goes with it, and the header, if you will. And so to that verse, I've been going to that book and chapter and reading the entire chapter that day. Every day something new speaks to me. Something that is incredibly humbling and stands out. Going back and reading James, it says, this is from chapter 1, "Dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything. If you need wisdom, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask Him, and He will gladly tell you. He will not resent your asking. But when you ask Him, be sure that you really expect Him to answer. For a doubtful mind is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. People like that should not expect anything from the Lord. They can't make up their minds. They waver back and forth in everything that they do." James doesn't say, if trouble comes your way, but whenever it does. He assumes that we are going to have troubles and it is possible to profit from them. The point is to not pretend to be happy when we face pain, but to have a positive outlook. It's an opportunity for joy. Because that's what troubles can produce in our life. The tough times can teach us perseverance. And we don't really know the depth of our character until we see how we react under pressure. Who truly are we as people? What kind of character do we have? Do our actions match our words? Recently in my life, I've had so many people come through with beautiful words, speaking things that I want to hear. Things that bring me joy and fill me full of energy. And each and every time they let me down. Their actions do not follow through. It's a lack of integrity. And what does it do to you as a person? To me, it hurts. These people are not who I thought they were. But what does it do to them? Do they feel good about themselves? Are they proud of who they are? No, I don't think that they do like who they are. And when these bad things come our way, how do we react to the people around us? Do we lash out at them? Do we treat them like they're here for us? Or do we consider the things that they say? When bad things happen, I always question, why me? But why not me? Through all the horrible things I've gone through in my life, I have come out the other side such a strong person. And yet I still have trials. And yet I still have things that to even think about them gives me a headache. God has asked a lot of me. He's asked for my patience. He's asked me to be brave. He's asked me to surrender to Him. And I think that's really the hardest, is letting go. And it's not necessarily opening up my hands and letting everything go to the wind. It's handing it over. Can I truly rest in the arms of Jesus? Can I cast my cares on Him? Can I carry His yoke, because He takes the heavy load and gives me the light one? Do I trust Him? Do I have enough faith to get through this trial? Do I have enough faith that God actually cares about me? Do I have enough faith that I've gotten this far in my life, through all the things that I previously thought were the worst? Can I get through this with Him? I know that I can't do it on my own. When you say, God will never give you more than you can handle, and I disagree. It's not more than He can handle. God wants you to rely on Him. He wants you to fully surrender to Him. If we're going to be used by God, He's going to take us through a number of experiences that are not meant for us at all. But He's molding us. The things that we go through, sometimes they're not for you. They're for you to be useful. And if you take everything that God gives you as an opportunity to grow and to strengthen your character, you won't say, I can't deal with this. I can't do that or this, the other thing. You will say, why can't I? God gives us sufficient opportunities to learn from Him. Christ suffered for us. 1 Peter 4:19 says He suffered according to the will of God. He took on the entire sin of the world for us. And yet we complain about our trivial everyday sufferings. We want to know God's purpose beforehand. We want to know the why. Why are you doing this to me, God? We don't get to know. There is a good chance you may never know, but what are you prepared for? Are you prepared for God to take away your personal ambitions? Are you prepared for God to destroy your individual decisions by supernaturally transforming them? What are you ready for? When it comes to the end of all of it, you'll look back and say, God strengthened me, and I didn't even know it. You don't realize what you're going through in the moment. You don't realize the beauty that's on the other side. When you're down in the depths of these hard times, it seems like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. It's easy to be kind to people when everything in our life is going good. It's easy to smile, to share a laugh, to even speak to strangers. But what about when life is treating us unfairly? What about when you feel like the weight of the world has come crashing down on you and you are being singled out because of your burdens? How are you going to respond to the hardships that life throws at you? Do you feel alone? Do you feel like God has abandoned you? Or is God waiting for you to step forward and say, "Here I am"? He is always waiting. I think of the prodigal son when he came home and the father ran out to greet him. He could have said to him, "Child, you squandered everything that you had. You took half of everything that was mine, and it's gone. There's nothing for you here." And he didn't. He welcomed him with open arms. When we are to the end of our rope and we have nothing left and we're looking at the food of pigs as something to eat because we have nothing, go home. Christ is waiting. And what does it take? Submission. The prodigal son had to look at himself and say, "I am in the wrong." He had to repent and go home. At what stage are you at? Are you willing to repent and go home? Or are you still going to sit in that pig pen wishing that somebody would come get you? How many times did people tell you, "Don't go that way, don't do that thing"? There are warnings along the path, and you went anyway. And the whole time, they're trying to get you to go down a different road. God brings people into your life at certain times, for certain seasons. And sometimes Satan brings people into your life. Certain times and certain seasons. Do you have the wisdom and the discernment to know between the two? How do you get that wisdom? How do you start to figure things out? Wisdom literally means practical discernment. It begins with respect to God, a right way of living, and it results in an increased ability to tell right from wrong. But I can tell you that as long as your goals are self-centered, you're not going to be able to tap into that wisdom. How is it that the creator of the entire universe watches out for each one of us individually, and yet we reject him? We say, "No, thank you, God. I got this on my own. I've been through enough stuff already. I think I can handle this." But who got you through that? Can you really rely on your own strength? Do you trust the wisdom that you have? 1 Peter 1:6 says, "So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though it is necessary for you to endure many trials for a while. These trials are only to test your faith and to show that it is strong and pure. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. And your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. So if your faith remains strong after being tried by fiery trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." And I don't know about you, but I really want to hear God say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," when I get to heaven. I don't want to get there and God asks me why I didn't do things. And I'll say, "God, it was hard. I couldn't do that. It was hard." And he'll say, "I gave you the tools. I gave you all of the things that you needed for it. You just had to get through. Why didn't you call out to me when you needed help?" We need to see a closed door for a closed door when it's that way. But if there's a hurdle in our path, we can't let it reroute us from what we know to be good and true. We can't go a different way from fulfilling our purpose. I am purpose driven. My life has meaning. I have a job to do here while I'm on earth, and I'm going to do it the very best that I can. There will always be fiery darts thrown at me. There will always be the people who say I can't. The naysayers and the ones who try and bring me down. And I'm not here to please them. My job is not to make other people happy. I used to think it was. I can bring joy into your life, but I cannot make you happy. Christ makes you happy. You find joy in Christ. You find happiness in living. Not because of who's been placed into your life. As a believer, you are going to face trials when you let your light shine into the darkness. You have to accept that trials are a part of the refining process. It burns away the impurities and prepares us to meet Christ. Trials teach us patience, and they grow us into the kind of people that God wants us to be. And you ask, what does refining gold have to do with anything? When gold is heated up, the impurities float to the top and they can be skimmed off. Steel is tempered or strengthened by heating it on fire. And likewise, our trials, our struggles, our persecutions, they refine and strengthen our faith, making us useful to God. Every trial I've ever been through has proved to be useful. Every hardship that I've been through has been meaningful, whether it has been for me or someone else. God shapes us into the people that we need to be so that he can use us to further his kingdom, so that we can be there for other people. our mission is not just to look at ourselves and say, how can I grow? What can I do for me? No. It's God, what can I do for you? That's where the joy is. That's where the purpose is and the meaning. There's a couple of times in my life where I was so certain on what my calling was, and it was nothing. And all I know is at this moment in time, I'm supposed to be right here in this seat speaking to you. There's nowhere else I'm supposed to be right now. And tomorrow I'll be somewhere else. I will try to accomplish the purpose for tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And it's not as though my purpose is one giant goal at the end of my life. It is daily to plant seeds in the hearts of people and to serve my God. And you think, oh, Amy, gosh, you're such a good person. That's what a good Christian you are. No. Every day, I have to repent. If I think of it, I like doing bad things. I like sinning. I like thinking bad thoughts. I like, and I'm not talking about to the extremes, okay? I'm just talking about doing things I know are not right. The sin is so shiny and distracting. It's very easy to get sidetracked by what I'm supposed to be doing. The fun is over here. Do you know what else is distracting? Are the trials that we're being put through. Do you know why? Because poor me. Poor me who's going through this hardship. And you start to self-reflect. And all you look at is yourself. And you forget where you were and what you were doing and who you were speaking to and who you were trying to become because you're so focused on yourself. And you are so focused on your problems and they consume you. And that's where we sit. In a valley of despair, waiting for someone to come and rescue us. Jesus has already rescued you. And you need to climb out of the pit yourself. Because no one is coming to save you. I will throw you a rope, but you must climb out yourself. You see, when we go through the trials and it feels like you're very much alone and you feel like you're the only person who has ever suffered in this way, I can assure you there are thousands of years of human beings who have walked this earth who have suffered similar trials. We forget that we can be there for each other. We tend to wallow in our pain, blanketed by the shame of all of it. And I'm not suggesting that anyone airs their dirty laundry. But you need to understand that there are people who actually care, who are here to sit with you and say, you can do this. You have all the energy you need. You have the tools. You have the things. We're here to support you. But at the end of the day, it's you that has to move your feet. It's you who has to make a change. And it's you who has to raise your eyes back up to the horizon and move forward. It is you who has to cry out with outstretched arms, Jesus, here I am. So many times I've been down on my knees with my arms stretched out and crying to God, take me back. I got lost again. And he takes me back every time. And he always will. Is that to say that we should keep on sinning? That we should keep on feeling our self-pity? No. You know what the distractions do. They slow you down on your quest. And then I wonder if you're going to make it there on time. You see, God has a purpose for all of us. But our plans are not etched in stone. We all have free will. And we can choose whatever we want. And when we get distracted, and we go off on our own way, the plan keeps going. God's will is going to happen no matter what you are doing, but you had a chance and an opportunity to be part of it. Don't waste the time you have on earth. Don't waste the time you have with the people that you love and the ones who truly love you. Pray without ceasing. Live in your purpose. Although those trials wear you down, His grace is sufficient. God will carry you through everything. And all the times I thought, surely I can't make it through this. Whether it was lack of support, financially, anything. When I did not see a way out, God has always provided, each and every time, without fail. And you would think that I would say, God, I trust you. I trust you. You've got this. No. My faith is so small. It's pathetically small. But I am learning. And each day, I pray that my faith grows. I pray that my character grows. That my love for Christ grows. My love for other people grows. I pray that I can be more like Jesus. I pray because my faith sets me free, and I am free indeed. My prayer for all of you this evening is that you will cry back out to God. That you will humbly submit to Him. That you will ask Him what it is that He wants from you. I pray that you feel the Holy Spirit's presence. I pray that you don't feel alone. I pray that you don't feel like this is the worst thing to ever happen to you. I pray that you find those people in your corner. And I pray that you know that I love you. And I hope to see each and every one of you one day in heaven. But until then, God bless.